'em pop. Big gun Brian Petrie giving out the lot. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot. Dog lock, that's the underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them home, that's KO or submission. Yeah, somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick 'em pod from MMA takes. Yeah, let's get it going.
Yeah. Welcome to the FC 292 Pick'em Podcast. I'm solo dolo. My guys aren't with me. We always do a live for the pay-per-view events. Unfortunately, 100% my fault. Been super busy this week with work. Busy with my little one starting first grade. My oldest one starting first grade on Friday. So like every day this week, it's something new. You know, we got bunk beds. I posted on, you know, your boy, I lugged that in the house. A lot of stuff going on. So, unfortunately, I had to record during the day. Now, another thing, I just woke up from a nap. So, I got the podcast juice flowing. And so, hopefully, I'm waking up. This card, I'm jacked to the tits for. I love this card. I know we dropped out on a lot of fights. A lot of fights fell apart on us. But I still do. I still like this card. I like the matchups. And I am well prepared. A well-oiled machine. Two bets are already in. The Green Hammer already in. And the Slime Ball already in. We'll get around those. Another thing, a little house cleaning on top. I'm trying some new production methods. So this, you know your boy. Hey, I'm trying to cut down the editing time. So hopefully the show looks the same to you. The graphics that I have been using on the recorded shows hopefully look the same. Hopefully we can bring those to the live shows, trying something new. But you know when your boy tries some new tech stuff, it always blows up in my fucking face. Hey, what are you gonna do? Another thing, earlier this week I posted some negative comments towards me on the Anakin Florian Apple podcast page. Now listen, talk all the shit you want about me. Come on, I have my own show. Come on this show. Go in the YouTube comments like a man and say, fuck this guy. He's fat. He's never trained. Yada, 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 right? All the hits, all the classics. Go ahead and hit me up on mine. Review my shit poorly. I don't care about any of that. I really don't care if people come at me about any of my physical appearance. I don't really care if people come at me at all. But when three people, and talking to some of the wonderful people on Twitter who were bringing me up, or bring me positively up, they said that they think it was probably the same guy, right? Same guy just created three burners, blah, blah, blah. And you know, I guess some guy's got a real beef with me. Anyway, you know, there's some really fucking hard people that work on that show. God damn it. You know, John cares about that show more than anything. Kenny is a busy guy and John, and they both show up every single fucking week and put their heart and soul to that. Cody Merrow as well works his ass off. Ray Longo, myself included. So if you don't like me, cool, come at me in the YouTube comments. Come at me on my own shit. Don't bring that show down. That's what bummed me out. You're bringing, you know, oh, I don't like, the show's great, but I don't like Brian. One star. Well, I'm only such a small part of it. What are you doing there, my guy? And I try not to let to get the negative to me at all. You know, I try to put on a brave face and, hey, it doesn't bother me, right? And typically when it's just me, them coming at me, I don't care. But again, you're coming at the show, something I care deeply about. And I know the people that are, you know, that, you know, Cody, John, Kenny, everyone I just named, they care about the show. So it kind of bummed me a little bit. But I am going to post on Twitter that some people kind of brought me back up. I posted the negative comments and positivity always wins, baby. So shout out to anybody. Or if you watch this show and you went and commented on the Apple podcast review and gave me a little bit of a shout out, gave me some love to help the show again, to counteract the negative feedback, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. So I really, really appreciate that. You guys are the best. A little house cleaning on top again. Slime Ball Parlay won last week. Ayo. We got a winner, and you guys saw me text my buddy Jarrett. Now, listen, Jarrett's a buddy of mine, a good friend of mine. I work together with him. This guy tends to give me shit a lot. You know what I mean? He, you know, he only bets parlays, so he only bets my parlay, right? And he doesn't bet any other picks. You know what I mean? I'm giving out a 5-1 parlay every week, right? And I give it out to win, but this guy comes at me like I'm a guaranteed fucking parlay whisperer. And so it was very tongue-in-cheek what the text I sent him. I sent it in a group chat with some of the work buddies. So it's just me busting his balls a little bit. But some people really were like, hey, yeah, get him, Brian. Fuck that guy. It's very funny. Get those haters. And I wouldn't call him a hater at all. He's been pretty much watching, listening to shows since day one. And he got mad the other day. You know, I'm going to expose him a little bit. Hopefully he's listening to this now. He got a little upset the other day when I came back from Nashville, and I was very thankful. I think my wife. I didn't thank my family. I didn't thank my best man at my wedding, Austin. Another really good friend of mine, Josh, who's my wedding as well. I think my buddy Steve, who I've been friends with for 30 years, who I watched pretty much all the fights with. He went to Vegas with me, et cetera, et cetera. And I think John Kenny, everyone who's really laid this out for me and helped me really grow, blah, blah, blah. He got a little upset that I didn't thank him. Right. I don't know what it is. He's a sensitive guy nowadays. So thank you to him for supporting me through this journey. Okay. There's your thank you. Was it half-hearted? Maybe, but you got your fucking thank you. Slime ball one, green hammer turned into the poop hammer. I'm gonna tell you right now before I get to the picks, because we're gonna get the picks right now. I will never bet another heavyweight over. I won't do it, okay? That's some amateur-ass shit. It's enticing. It's like a gypsy. They got you hypnotized. Two guys who don't finish fucking anybody. Two guys who rarely get finished, and they're going in there, and you're like, it's gonna hit the over. And fucking booty goes out to Andrew Storys Parisian in the first round, so what are you gonna do? Green hammer on life support these past 2 weeks, but I got another green hammer this week. I typically don't love the overs, right? I'm usually a pick a prop kind of guy because that's a multi-unit prop play. But I think I went back to the well for an over here, but it's not a heavyweight fight, so rest easy. All right, first fight of the night, Marina Moroz versus Corinne Silva, plus 120 for Moroz, minus 148 for Silva. So these first two fights, and I don't want to bash on them because they're women fights. I don't have the best read. Marina Moroz is a girl, by the way. If you look her up, like outside, I mean, you could probably tell she's a pretty girl, but she kind of dials it back when she's fighting, right? But you look her up, I mean, she's showing butt cheeks out there. Like she's stunning, right? You know what I mean? I did not expect that. She's been in the UFC for a while and a little inconsistent. She's also, it feels like she's been away for a while. And Karina Silva's kind of hot hand right now, making a quick turn, coming back. She's aggressive. She has good submissions. Marina Moroz has decent ground game and has surprise, has cash underdog. She's plus 120 underdog here. Your boy knows chicks, right? But I'm having an off chick week. I'm having a real off chick week, except for the co-main event. I think I'm dialed in. But for this fight, I'm going to go Karina Silva as the winner for here. I just think she's just a little more aggressive, younger, and she's fighting more often and getting better as Moroz, who will lose one, take a couple months off. You know what I mean? The consistency is what I like in Silva here. So I'm going to take Silva. Don't have a strong lean on this. Minus 148, minus 145, minus 150, whatever you get Silva at, I think is a good number if you like Silva. But Moroz has surprised before, and it's definitely fucking surprised me before, so I don't feel like getting burned. So I'm going to go Silva, and let's move on to the next fight here. Andrea Lee, plus 280 versus Natalia Silva, minus 355. Another Silva, and I'm going with the Silva. Andrea Lee, we all know her boyfriend, or maybe we all don't know. Her boyfriend's Tony Kelly. Probably not the most likable guy in MMA, huh? Adrian Nez fucked him up, got him cut from the UFC. But, you know, he's done some good things. You know, Andrea Lee's had a pretty tough personal life. Her ex-husband was a piece of shit, beat her up, and he had a bunch of shit going on with them. She left him, and now I think she's in Louisiana training with Tony Kelly, and I feel like she's gotten better. Her cardio's gotten better. She's scrappy. She's hard to finish. She's early on in UFC career, I thought she was like maybe a little afraid to stand on the feet, right? Now she's in wars. Natalia Silva, good on the ground, kind of good everywhere. This is going to be a crazy – If I liked Andrea Lee, I would take Andrea Lee. This is good. Either be Andrea Lee's going to get her fucking neck or arm taken home, or this is going to be a slippery, greasy fight. You know what I mean? And there's always a commenter, I believe his name Skynet is his YouTube handle, who always says, bet women's MMA live. And I think that's the best point here. You got Silva at a high number. If you want to pre-flop Lee at this great number, great, because this could get pretty sloppy and you might lose that that giant plus number on Lee. I like Silva here just because I think she's the more polished fighter everywhere. I think Lee's got that dog in her, but I think it's going to take a little bit more of a dog to get Silva here. So I'm going to go back-to-back Silvas, back-to-back Brazilian women. I catch it! You know what I mean? So that's what I'll be doing. I'll be doing some dance fighting. Capoeira! Next. All right, next up, GM3 plus 195 versus Andre Podrosky minus 240. This line jumped out at me. This line shocked me a little bit. GM3, I know, listen, he's kind of getting the old dog, the old war horse, you know what I mean? But, you know, no grappler really, like, just beats this guy, right? Hermanson back in the day got him with a choke. But when you go to the ground with this guy, it's a problem. His wrestling's not great, but he's tricky on the ground. And he'll let you blow all your energy on the ground. He'll take some shots on the ground. And GM3 is really hard to predict because sometimes he comes out there and he's fucking just nails, right? He's a tough dude. Don't get me wrong. Other times he goes out there and he gets clipped in the first round. And you're like, oh, what happened to the guy last fight? Podrosky is getting better. Good grappler, strong. I believe these guys... were scheduled to grapple. Maybe they didn't grapple or not, but Podrosky has a bunch of grappling on his record. Good wrestler, heavy on top, has looked good in UFC so far, but you're getting this veteran in GM3 who might have the most submission wins at 185 pounds. I think that's a stat I just made up, or maybe it's real. Anyway, and you're giving me a good dog price on him. His numbers came down. I should have grabbed him at plus 220-ish, whatever he opened up at or whatever he was a couple days ago. I'm going to take GM3 here, plus 195. Give me the dog here, and you didn't see me reach back. Yeah, it's a Green Hammer! Ooh. All right, Green Hammer. Now, you're thinking, oh, BP, what are you doing with that Green Hammer? The poop hammer, right? It's lost these past couple weeks. Put that thing away. Shove up your ass. I lost money. I get it, okay? I get it if you're saying all those things. I get it. But I have a feeling on this one. I had a lot of Green Hammers written down here. I like a lot of the overs in some of these fights. I like some dogs. I like some finishes. You know, Greg Rodriguez could easily be the Green Hammer with a fucking knockout, old RoboCop. But I'm looking at this, and they set the line, the over-under, at 1.5. 1.5. Now, you just heard what I said. It's minus 130. So I'm willing to fucking gamble, baby, for the over. The over 1.5, GM3, Andre Podrosky, over 1.5. I think if GM3 does not get starched in the first round, this is going to be a grappling battle. And then I think if Podrosky fades in the third, I think a GM3 is taking a neck. But we don't have to worry about that. All we have to worry about is hitting the over. Actually, you know what? I do have to worry about that because I will be playing GM3 at plus 195. But the Green Hammer play for UFC 292 is going to be GM3, Gerald Meerschaert III versus Andre Podrosky over 1.5, right? Over 1.5. Now, there's going to be some underbetters out there. I get it. You know, fucking, but the Green Hammer is back, baby. Look at this fucking thing, guys. It just feels lighter every week. I feel like just because I'm just getting so goddamn strong, it just feels light. It used to be heavy to me. Green Hammer play, baby. Minus 130, multi-unit prop play, over 1.5. I fucking love it, and I'm taking the dog on that shot. God damn, I love this game. Next up, horrible picture of Cody Gibson. If you're on the visual side, I apologize. Plus 140 versus Brad Katona, minus 170. Now, this is the Ultimate Fighter finale for the 135-pounders? Right, 135? Now, listen, I'm going to have a little rant here. Excuse me. The Ultimate Fighter has turned dog shit, right? And I can save it, right? I can save it. If you hire me, ESPN, UFC, whoever's running the production on this, I can save it. Listen, I've seen every season of The Ultimate Fighter, right? I have. The past couple ones have been bad. Why have they been bad? Because you're focusing too much on the fighter and their little at-home videos and blah, blah, blah. They have a whole episode dedicated to them when they fight, right? Win or lose. And then they just, if they lose or whatever, then you never see them again. The Ultimate Fighter was the best when it was on Spike, maybe even Fox, because It had reality. I'm not a reality show guy. I don't watch reality TV all that much. But I love growing up as a kid. I love MTV Road Rules the Challenge, right? My boy CT just fucking punching dudes, right? That's what you came for. I didn't come for them to push some barrels up a hill to see who won the challenge. I came for who's banging chicks in closets and who's CT about to punch. That's what's great about the Young Fighters. I do care about the fights, but I also care about the reality. You look back at like the Bismings and who was a great on the show, and you look back at like the fucking Junie Brownings, who was a wild man, and obviously Lieben from season one, and you have all these great reality. Even the bad seasons where there wasn't really the best cast of fighters, never really made it, the reality was still there, and it made us choose who to root for. These, you know, they're getting too intimate with these fucking... you know, these little big light black background interviews. They don't really let fighters shine through. It's like you have an episode, win, lose, or draw. You're gonna do an at-home video and all that shit. That's 20 minutes. 20 minutes here, 20 minutes fights. We get none of the action at the house. I mean, we saw a little bit with Katona and Cody. You know, Cody said he didn't like him, but we got none of that. And the ones we did, it felt forced. Like, I know they had a rush production. You can tell every fight was on the same day. You know, one fighter's weighing in 1 week. They're all drained. They're all weighing in the same week. Connor probably only gave him 2 weeks, so they had to fit it in. But I can fix this. This is solvable. You bring back the reality. And like, it's the same thing with the contender series. Like, not everyone has this super sad story why they're fighting or why they're fighters. Some people just love it. Some people just want to fight. Not everyone has this gripping story. And I feel like sometimes it's like forced that make a gripping story. And then it takes away from the people who do have a story. You know what I mean? Like, this is my perfect, here you go. I'm about to act right now. This is me on a contender series. Okay. Whew. So, you know, I'm doing this because a few years ago, oh man, it's hard for me to say. I found a mole on my arm. It was black. And I called the doctor, and I before I even went to the doctor, I realized like, this is what I need to do in my life. I'm a fighter. Go for it. Life's short. Oh man. And that's what made me be here. And that's why I'm here today. And it turned out not to be cancer. It actually turned out not to be even a mole at all. It was just a piece of chocolate chip, but you know, you never know life. You know, that's the shit they're giving us. Enough of that. Back to the reality, back to the junk fighters, back to the guys saying mean shit and almost fighting in the house. That's what you need. That's entertainment. Now I know we're all professionals nowadays, but listen, if you're an MMA fighter, you're a wild boy, right? I don't care who you are. You got a little wired in your head. I mean, I'm the same way, right? I'm an MMA fighter, but you are wired a certain way. You mean to tell me Jason Knight didn't do some crazy, funny shit there? They had to cut it because, oh, I got an at-home video, whatever. Bullshit. All right, here we go. Cody Gibson versus Brad Katona, +140 versus -170 Katona. This is the last line that came out. And I'm starting to get scared. Because I think Brad Katona destroys Cody Gibson here. If you look at Cody Gibson, I think he's a very good fighter. He debuted against Aljamain Sterling in the UFC. He's had some really bad luck when he was in the UFC. You know, he fought some really good fighters. And then respect him when he left. He was fighting good fighters. He fought John Dodson, Ray Borg. These are hard matches. But Cody Gibson can't stop a fucking takedown. He just can't. Brad Katona is a good grappler. And he's a guy that just wins. He's not flashy. He's not anything. He can finish you a little bit. His stand-up's okay. He's tough in there. His cardio can push. But Cody Gibson just cannot stop a takedown. He's explosive. He can land a knee. He can land a big shot at Katona. But that's all you got, right? I thought this line would be way higher. I got Katona yesterday when I placed the bet at -175. I thought I was stealing. It has now dropped down to 170, right? So I might have to double up on him. I'm taking Brad Katona here. And he's
ain't got no gas in it.
Wrong button. Wrong fucking button.
And that is my mortal lock. My mortal fucking lock is
Brad Katona. I never thought I'd say that. It went 2-2 in the UFC. Felt like he got cut a little premature. He's about to win his second Ultimate Fighter, so maybe there's some talk about him being the greatest Ultimate Fighter contestant, which is crazy because I understand, you know, when he talks, it's like nails on a chalkboard. I get it, but he's a great fighter. And I think he's going to ragdoll Cody Gibson. I think Cody Gibson, the only way to bet him, the only way to play him is by knockout. Yeah, I don't think he wins any other way. They could give him some bullshit decision, but I don't see it. I see Brad Katona here beating him up, taking him down and beating him up, maybe getting a finish himself late in the fight by some kind of choke. You know, if Cody gives up, Cody had a knee injury on the fucking show. Maybe that's still lingering. But give me fucking Brad Katona here, man. Minus 170, mortal lock.
Hello? Okay, this is Dog.
God damn it, Brian. Another wrong button. It's a slime ball can at number one. God damn it. He's not a dog, people. If you're listening at home, you're like, what's this guy just hitting buttons? Apparently I am. I apologize. All right, next fight. Here we go. Kurt Holaba, plus 140 versus Austin Hubbard, minus 170. So I looked into Kurt a little bit, and he kind of flew under my radar. He was on the Contender Series, I believe, the first season. His win got tossed out. He looked good. Win got tossed out. He was using the IV. Still got brought in the OC, went 0-3 and got cut. The guy's scrappy, right? The guy's scrappy. He's tough. He's got good stand-up. Jason, his fight with Jason Knight might have been the best, top 10 best fights ever on The Ultimate Fighter. It was so good, so violent. Kurt landed some big, big right hands. But he's going against Hubbard, a guy who I know he's 19-6 and he had a decent run in the UFC. I believe he got two contracts in the UFC. I want Kurt to win. That's who I'm rooting for. But I don't see it happening. I see Hubbard just being too much everywhere. This guy's a grinder. He's out there in Colorado with Trevor Whitman. Well, I don't think Trevor Whitman's his coach, but he trains with cross-trains with Trevor Whitman. And he's out there just fucking grinding. You know what I mean? And that's what he does to guys in the UFC. This guy got his leg kicked so many times that they had to like cut his leg open to relieve the swelling, and he still stepped back in there. You know, I mean, this guy, like, you know, he's tough and he's quiet and he doesn't really have anything explosive. Like, that's what surprised they invited him to the show, because he's a little boring and he's a tough guy to beat. So you kind of have to imagine he was going to probably be in the finals if you had half a brain. Not many people are going to be able to walk through this guy. And here he is in the finals. And I think he beats Kurt Holaba by just griminess. I think this could have been an overplay as well. Over 2.5 is what this is set at. I like that as a green hammer. That could be a baby green hammer. Maybe not multi-unit. Maybe just a unit. Maybe a quarter unit. Whatever. But I like over 2.5 right here. I like Austin Hubbard by decision. Minus 170. Very similar to the other fight of the tournament as well. So, yeah, give me Hub. Give me old Hubbard. The one thing to look out for, though, is I was watching Justin Gaethje's, it's like road to, you know, it was a vlog leading up, all those like little training leading up to the Poirier fight. And one episode, Hubbard was training with him and Whitman was doing an interview to the camera. And he said something about Hubbard having a shoulder injury. Like, oh, he can't train right now because he's got a shoulder injury, but he can run with them. And that's what made me feel like, oh, did he just, and I think this is before Hubbard even became in the finals. But I was like, oh, shit, did he just spoil? He ain't going to make the finals. Is he hurt or whatever? So, obviously, that's not the case. But, you know, look out for some kind of shoulder injury for Austin Hubbard. Not going to scare me off. I still think he can beat Kurt Holaba here. I think Kurt's going to have to fight perfect, create space, stay away from Hubbard. He's going to want to clinch him and grind him against the cage, possibly even take him down. And Hubbard's got a nice little motor on him, too. So, give me Austin Hubbard, though. Next up, Gregory Rodriguez, RoboCop, minus 355 versus Dennis Tullulian. This guy's got 40 eyes in his name, Dennis Tullulian. So I got messaged, I think, a week and a half ago by a gentleman on Instagram and says, hey, listen, I never do this. Hammer RoboCop. You fucking hammer him. And I'm right there with you. I'm all over RoboCop here as well. He's my send him home. Send him home, baby. I think he destroyed. I think he can do whatever he wants. I think he's embarrassed by his knockout loss. I've seen video footage of him in South Florida training. Looks like an absolute monster. I think he's a better fighter everywhere. Obviously, there's a little bit of a chin issue, but I don't think Dennis Tullulian, whatever the fuck, is good. I mean, he's 10-7, right? He hasn't looked great in the UFC. He's tough and everything, but you know, but I just see RoboCop winning everywhere. Really want to see him mix in takedowns. He's got great jiu-jitsu. He's big, strong guy. Quit just standing up and boxing with your chin in the air. That's how you're going to get caught every fucking time. This MMA fight, bub. Take him down, MMA him. Choke his head off. Pull his fucking neck. I'm thinking about trying to I don't know how I'm going to play this, because double chance you're not going to get a great number with knockout and submission. I think this is going to be a finish without a doubt. Thus, he's my send him home. Thinking about making my green hammer as well. He's a slime ball candidate as well, but man, I'm not sure how I'm gonna play this yet. I'm gonna play it some kind of finish. Am I feeling submission? Am I feeling knockout? You know, probably the better number on fight night is what I'm gonna go with. Hey yo, But I like Gregory Rodriguez big here. Listen, I'm not saying anything. No one's, I mean, you can look at the line and say it. Oh, hey, thanks, Brian. You're giving out a minus 355. I couldn't have done that. Very right. You're very true. You could absolutely could have. If you looked at the line, you'd be like, yeah, him. But I do like him by finish, and I got to figure out how by finish. I'm going to have to really zone in on how to finish him because, you know, it's going to happen. All right, next up, fight I'm looking forward to a lot here. Chris Weidman, plus 220 versus Brad Tavares, minus 270. Wyman's back. Always been a fan of Wyman. I was a little upset when he knocked out Anderson because I did like Anderson a lot. But if a guy could knock out Anderson, I'd rather be Wyman than anyone else. Seems like a good dude. Defended his title twice and then kind of, you know, something happened. Maybe age, maybe just wear and tear, whatever. I know he's got, you know, he had some bad parts in his body, his knees and this and that. Maybe it's what it was. Too active, whatever. Since, you know, since really his loss for the title, he hasn't really been the same guy, right? I'm going to sneeze here. I'm going to mute it. Hang on. If you're watching on camera, you just saw your boy sneeze. I muted it for the audio people. Woo! Ooh, that's a lightning bolt. All right, anyway. So Chris Weidman hasn't really been the same since he lost the title to Rockhold. He's winning that fight, or at least being competitive, through a spinning wheel kick, which I think he's maybe practiced five times. Luke Rodden got on top. He couldn't get him off. I mean, he hasn't really been the same since then. He had it whenever Kevin Gastelum in New York, which is great. But, you know, the Yoel Romero fight, which was close, got knocked up by a knee. The Gegard Mousasi fight, which he was winning, landed too many takedowns. He took an illegal knee, which I thought was illegal. They deemed it wasn't. He couldn't continue or they stopped the fight. They said it was a legal knee, all that bullshit. But then you got the Jacare Souza fight where he's winning. He just got fucking slept. And then obviously the leg breaker of Uriah Hall, which he's been out for 2.5 something years for that, which is crazy. I'm glad he's coming back, if I'm being honest with you. This is a guy who's mentally tough. He's kind of built for a situation like that, coming back. And I feel like the UFC did him a favor, Tavares. I've seen some different opinions on Twitter, which I love. People think this is actually a bad matchup. Why they give him Tavares? I think it's a good matchup. Tavares has been in the UFC longer than Chris, is a stand-up guy, explosive, has big power on the feet, but, you know, it's susceptible to wrestling. And if you're Chris Weidman, the only way, in my opinion, you're going to win this fight is if you get this fight to the crown. We need the old Chris Weidman back. We need that wrestler, the explosive wrestler, taking people down and taking necks, babe, right? His he's heavy on top. His, God, I had such a Midwest accent. Heavy on top on that one. Chris Weidman's head and arms, great. Rear naked choke, good. Guillotine, good. He's got a lot of different kind of chokes. Darts, good. And his squeeze, and he's a big, powerful guy, so that's what Weidman needs to do. That's what he has to do. I'm sure in his corner, they're telling him that he's never been the fastest guy at 85. He relied on timing. Timing's going to be hard to find when you've been out for so long and you're a little older, right? Don't worry about the kicks. You're not a kicker. Don't worry about the kicks. Don't worry about your leg. Just go out there and fucking wrestle, take him down, and really work the top game and heavy on top. Tavares is tough to take down. He's been taken down before. He's not an easy guy to hold down as well, but I think if Chris is on his game, he can do it. That's why I'm taking Weidman here, plus 220. I like the number. Small little play. I was much confidenter, if that's a word, earlier in the week. Now that I have thought about it and I've chewed on it and all these smart guys on Twitter is making me rethink it, I'm still going to go with Weidman. Small little play. I'm not dog locking him up or anything like that, but I am going to put a little cash on him, little shekel shacks, couple shekels. But I like Weidman here. I think he can get a finish. I am going to probably sprinkle Weidman by submission. We'll see what that prop plays up, comes up to be. Probably do that. But I like Weidman here. I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for the guy. If he goes out there and he doesn't look good and he gets absolutely buzzsawed, right? I hope he decides to hang it up. You came back from a horrific injury. No one can take that away from you. You're a champion, right? But if you're set money-wise and you don't need the fight, transition to a coach. You're down in Fort Mill, South Carolina with Stephen Thompson. You can become a coach down there at that gym. If he gets blown out, I mean, I don't want to see him fight again. But I don't think that's going to happen. I actually like him. All right, next up, Mayra Batista, plus 220 versus Damone Blackshear, plus 180. That's right. Damone Blackshear coming back after hitting that twister twisty last time out. Underdog here at plus 180. I think there's some real value on him. However, I made a promise to myself to quit fading Batista. I faded him. so many goddamn times. He looks so good, so strong in there, so explosive. I think this is going to be a competitive fight, but I think Batista's got it. I'm rocking with Batista. No parlays, no nothing. I think I like this fight to go to decision. I think Damone Blackshear is a tough dude. He's good on the ground. He's, you know, his grappling is good. I'm a little worried about the double weight cut for him, obviously. They're obviously going to cut him a nice bag here. He's going to get paid. I'm a little worried about the double weight cut. Batista is a thick guy who is explosive and a very good fighter. And I'm going to rock with Batista here. I really want to see Batista versus Cody Garbrandt. I know Cody might have got deaded, but, you know, if Cody would have showed up, he, you know, it could have been a fun fight. But Batista also has been knocked out before. There has been some chin questions with Batista. But Blackshear is not the guy to really knock him out, in my opinion. You know, if Blackshear hits another twister, I mean, I'll get a fucking Damone Blackshear tattoo. Okay? If Damone Blackshear hits another twister, I, Brian Petrie, will get a Damone Blackshear tattoo on my body. Okay? Not my ass. My ass is too juicy. Not really. I'll probably do nowhere visible. I'm like an arm. I'll go in like in my arm. Okay. I don't want to go crazy. I'm not going to get on my neck. But if he hits a twister, Damone Blackshear tattoo guaranteed. But I like Batista here. I think by decision, I think Batista is a really good finisher. And maybe there's some worth a squeeze there on the finish. But man, I don't know. I'm just seeing a decision win here. I could be wrong about that though. All right. That's not meat of the card. Chito Vera -195 versus Pedro Munhoz +165. So, fun fight. This could be fight of the night, I think. This or the co-main event could be fireworks. I think there's a lot of really good potential fights here. Chito Vera is a guy who I have grown to like. I didn't really like him leading up to the Sugar Sean fight because I do like Sugar Sean O'Malley. I thought Chito was everything Sean was saying about him. I thought Sean was honest in his assessment. Wrong, right? Wrong, because Chito Vera is a dog. Right, he's a dog. He's fought everybody, right? And he don't get this guy out there. He goes out there, he puts you out. Bricks in his hands. Problem is, he starts a little slow. Fights get away from him, and he always relies on a finish. You ain't finishing Pedro Munhoz. You just ain't. You ain't gonna submit him. You could knock him out. Pedro Munhoz gets marked up. There could be a cut stoppage or something like that for sure. You got heavy hands. You put him on him. You got the volume. But man, his last time out, I felt like Chito just let the ball slip a little bit away from him, and he lost that fight against Sanhagen. I think the same thing's gonna happen here, baby.
Hello? Okay, this is Dog.
Dog Lock City, Pedro Munhoz. Now I picked Chito on the Anakin Florian because I wanted Pedro. Can he pick Pedro? So I mixed it up. But I like Pedro +165. I feel like Chito Vera is gonna have to rally in that third round, being down two. Hopefully no fuckery with the judges, and we get Pedro Munhoz to win here. I think Pedro's got good leg kicks, good jiu-jitsu. I think if he mixes takedowns really well, Chito doesn't have the best takedown defense. You get Chito down, your jiu-jitsu can prevail. Stand-up wise, you got little baby T-Rex arms, little baby arms, but you close the distance well. You have good boxing. Don't box too much with Chito. In and out, takedown, in and out, takedown, win by points, and then if you get him on the ground, that's where you go for the kill. Don't go for the kill on the feet. Because you can't kill Chito. He'll kill you on the feet. This is my advice to you, Pedro Munhoz. I'll take 1% of your winnings if you win. Of course, you're listening to this and you're heeding my advice. Pedro Munhoz +165, Dog Lock City. So that's all my locks. So my locks so far are Dog Lock, Pedro Munhoz, Send Him Home, RoboCop, Gregor Rodriguez, and Mortal Lock. I can't believe I'm saying this is Brad fucking Katona, baby. Let's go. All right, here we go. Neil Magny +380 versus Ian Garry -500. I got these lines yesterday real quick because I am an unprofessional fuck and I didn't have this pulled up. I want to see if this has moved at all because the reason I... Oh, come on. What are you freezing up for? Excuse me here. Real dead air. Sorry.
Dead air.
Yeah, sorry about that. All right. Yeah. Okay. So Neil Magny +390, Ian Garry -520. Okay. So updated lines right now. I love Ian Garry. I do. Right. And I'm assuming you've already watched the Anakin Florian. So there's going to be no surprise when I pick against him. Hello.
Hello. Okay. This is Dog.
Yeah. So I love Ian Garry. I believe in his skills. I think he's a real dude. I think he could fight top 10, top 5 guys in the very near future. But I told myself I wasn't going to fall in love with Ian Garry pre-fight. I thought this fight would open exactly the way it opened. Ian Garry was 330, 340. And Neil Magny was like plus 280. And I said, ooh, I mean, it's still nice, 280 on Neil Magny. But the only way I'm betting Neil if he gets over three. An hour later, whatever, he gets over three. Plus, it was like plus 340, plus 380 now plus 390. Maybe he'll creep 4-1. I don't pick Neil Magny a lot. I know he's got records. He's an old vet. He's been in the UFC forever, but he's a tad boring for me, right? But he's an awkward style to fight. Only the fucking elite dudes finish this guy. You can beat him. You can beat him on the cards. He might have an off night. But if you're in a legit, real fucking guy, you finish him. So I'm rooting for Ian Garry to get a finish here because that would prove that he's a legit guy. And I like him. I like his ego. I like his mental. Well, dial back the ego just a little bit, bro. No one's tuning in to watch just you fight Neil Magny, I assure you. Been a fan for a long time. I promise you I can speak for all the fans. Not really. That we're not just tuning in for you. Maybe in Ireland. Maybe. But here in Cincinnati, bro, the co-main event, main event, they got you top. You know what I mean? That's just for me. But I do like everything about Ian Garry. I think he's doing things the right way, and I think I like the confidence in himself, which I think he brings to that level. But you were training for a 5'10 southpaw boxer, and you're getting a 6'3 grimy cage-humping motherfucker. You know what I mean? You're going to get cage-humped. And fucking Neil Magny's going to win a decision here. It's too high. He's too high, Ian Garry. Way too high. Neil Magny has the most wins in welterweight history because these are the fights that he wins. I like that Ian switched up, went got Phil Rowe, who Neil just beat. Same height, same distance. Basically, carbon copy of Neil. Start putting training with him a little bit, getting ready. He came out and said, I'm such a high-level fighter that this switch might fuck other people up. It's not fucking me up. I'm going to be on top, so blah, 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 blah. I love that shit, but plus 380, currently plus 390. I'm taking a shot at Neil, baby. Give me Neil Magny by decision. I think it's going to be a close fight, and I am. But listen, that's a number play. I'm a gambler. I'm going to put my hard-earned dollars on that, but as a fan, as a guy who roots for the sport in a whole, give me Ian Garry by just first round execution, because then we got a star. Because no one, unless you're elite, does that to Neil Magny. All right, come in event. A fight that I feel like I can talk about or not. Zhang Weili, Weili Zhang, however you say it. Minus 310 versus Amanda Lemos. Plus 250. What a fight we got here. I love Weili Zhang. She's adorable. They're adorable. How do you not watch her feeding elephants on the embedded or the countdown show, excuse me, and see her get flowers from a fan and just her face light up? And like, she's great. And she's a fantastic fighter. And what I love about her, which has been my complaint about a lot of fighters in prior UFC, let's name one, Johnny Hendricks. All he talked about was the title, right? Title this, title that, got the title, and then fucking never won again. And you know, well, I mean, I'm sure he did, but just looked like, you know, was out of the sport within 2 years. Zhang Weili won the title, lost it, won it back, and she's getting better. That's hunger. That's desire to be the best. That's not just calling it in and being, I'm okay with being number two. I want to be the best here. She's fighting Amanda Lemos, who's got big, big power. Huge power, right? And a female fighter, a badass that I've slept on a lot. I put a couple units on Minadiez when they fought. I thought that was going to be the speed was going to be the killer there. Lemos, just timing and power is brutal. People go back to her Leslie Smith fight. That was at 135. What are you going to do? She didn't get taken down in that fight. People look at her Jessica Andrade's fight. She got caught in that standing arm triangle. Jessica Andrade can squeeze my head off. You know what I mean? That she's a legend. I'm not going to put too much stock in those fights. But what I will do is to say that Zhang Weili is getting better everywhere. And she's strong. She's bricked up. Speed. She's shorter. And her arms and her legs aren't going to reach Lemos unless she really commits to that distance, which Lemos then could fucking land that right hand. Yeah. I think Weili said the best quote this week. She's going to fight like water, which to me just means she's going to flow with stand-up, flow with takedowns. And that's what she's got to do. I like Zhang Weili here. I think she's going to retain. And I like her by like submission as well. Got to look that prop up as well. Maybe we'll do a show with Christian and Timbo tomorrow night. What day is it? Friday night. We'll do a show with them Friday night. Hopefully, if they're free, you know, the, you know, Timbo's a dad now, but Christian's a party boy. You know, that guy goes out. You know, he likes to have a good time. But maybe we'll pop on and just talk some props, because that's a prop that I like to have up there. John Whaley by submission is something that I've been flirting with in my head. It's probably a good number. Give me John Whaley to retain, though, babe. All right. Main event. Aljamain Sterling, minus 260 versus Sugar Sean O'Malley, plus 210. Love this main event. Love this fight. Love both guys. I had a pretty long breakdown in the Ankin Florian. And I always try not to repeat myself on my own show that I do. That show, yeah, whatever. I like Sean O'Malley. I bought one of his t-shirts about 2 years ago. I think he is misunderstood at times. And maybe not misunderstood, because I think he is probably like a bro idiot at times. But I do think he is cerebral. I think he takes this very, very seriously, even though maybe he doesn't want you to know he takes it seriously. I think he's a very good fighter. I think his stand-up is really fucking good. I think even people know that his stand-up's good. I do still think people sleep on his fucking stand-up. That's how good I think it is. Obviously, people are like, oh, he grappled Gomi. Who gives a fuck? Yeah, he submitted 80-year-old Gomi. Who cares? We saw him on his back against Petrion. Didn't blow me away. We saw him on his back against Cheeto. Got finished. I know he hurt his leg, whatever. He said something that I love. If Aljo, life or death, I got to get this fight to the feet. I can't let him get around, grab a hold of me. I like that, right? Aljo is, John asked me, I don't know if this made the air or not, but John asked me on the podcast, who I think the greatest bantamweight of all time is. And my go-to answer, without thinking much about it, was Dom Cruz. And John is really good friends with Dom Cruz. One of his best friends, John says. Loves the guy. Dom thinks it's Aljo when you look at the record. And I listened to his argument. Yeah, cool. My go-to answer forever was just Dom Cruz. When I got done off the podcast, I went and I looked at everything. And I know Dom got some time taken away with the injuries. And I said I think the reason he is the GOAT is because of coming back and beating TJ that time. Aljamain Sterling's the GOAT bantamweight. Look at who he's beat. Look at his record. Everything. I don't know why this guy gets hated on. I did a little spiel on the Ankin Florian. Go watch that on DraftKings YouTube channel of why Americans don't root for this guy. I love Aljo, right? Obviously, I'm kind of close with the team with Ray and Steamroller and that. I've never met Aljo. Don't know Aljo. Never had an interaction with him. Seems like a good dude. Is there for his teammates. I mean, flew out to Nashville to corner Bazooka when he had a fight coming up. I mean, that's just dope. That's just a loyal, fucking strong teammate right there. I love that shit. Aljo's probably last fight at 35. I think we can all say he's going up to 45. And on paper, it's an easy matchup for Aljo. I think if he gets a hold of Sugar, I think he can take him down. I think he can backpack him, and I think he can finish him. I think Sugar's been training his entire camp since the fight got announced, however many weeks ago. He's been training, or probably since he got done fight Jan, he's been training, you know, defending the back transitions, how to get off the back. Aljo's just a different dude, different guy. He's a big, strong guy for this weight. And I think when he gets a hold of Sean, it's maybe not in the first round, maybe in the second round, but I think it's going to be a problem for Sean. Here's the good thing about Sean O'Malley, right? Here's the good thing. If Sean goes out there and looks good for some of this fight, he'll get the next title shot against Marab, for sure, right? Unless Cheeto blows the doors off of Pedro, and then it's really hard to ignore Cheeto. I mean, Corey Sandhagen is there, but Corey's going to be out for a little bit with that torn up arm. And Marab's coming back from injury, so I'm thinking next... probably beginning of next year is when we're going to crown a 35-pound champion. But if Sean looks good, he's fighting for the title again. This isn't going to be the first time he fights for the title. I think this is going to be a learning lesson. I think he's going to go in there. I think Aljo's going to be too much on the ground. He's funky on the feet. He looks like it's not great. TJ Dillashaw bass Aljo. His stand-up's terrible. His blah, blah, blah. It's amateur. It's just different. And it's so hard to catch guys when you're so clean and you spar a guy who's funky. To steal a word, it's hard to catch those guys. And Aljo throws kicks like arms. He sets them all up with his takedowns. You know, it's different and it works. And it's going to throw Sean off enough for Aljo to get the takedown, I believe. And I think Aljo finishes here probably in the second or third round. I think Sean's going to have a pretty good first round, or maybe a feeling out first round. Maybe he'll stop a few takedowns. And then maybe even we'll, if he gets his back taken, you know, he'll defend well. I mean, Petr Yan got his back taken, he defend it well. He could probably watch the tape on that, defend well. He does have a good jiu-jitsu coach. But, yeah, I just think Aljo's a bad matchup. But I think this is a win-win for Sean. I think if he looks good, he gets the next title shot. If even if he gets blown out and Aljo goes up, unless Corey's ready to fight, you know, Sean's going to fight for the title again because he's such a star. But I think he fights for the title regardless of how bad or good he looks. I think he's, this is just his first test. That he's going to fail. Give me Aljo. Slimeball candidate number three. All right, that's it. That's show 292, baby. I hit the locks up real quick. Locks again. Dog lock, Pedro Munoz. Send him home, Greg Rodriguez. And my mortal lock, Brad fucking Katona. What am I doing? All right, Slimeball, not super juicy, but super great. You know what I mean? Not super juicy, super great. Plus 179 total. This is got probably going to go up because I got Brad Katona and I placed that bet at plus 170, or excuse me, minus 175. He's now minus 170. So the slime ball is a little more juicy. Greg Rodriguez, Brad Katona, Greg Rodriguez, Aljamain Sterling, plus 179, almost 2-1 on your money. That bet's already been placed. MMA Takes Podcast betting group on DraftKings. Go hook it up. And three locks going to win. I feel good about this card. I went 10 and what did I go? Last card I picked pretty well, boys. Last card wasn't bad. Where'd I go, though? Yeah, 10 and 3 on my picks last card. Not too bad. Won a little bit of money as a bet. I know I didn't do a recap show. Slime ball parlay was huge last week. Green Hammer as well, which we're winning the Green Hammer this week. Look at me in the eyes, okay? I don't have the biggest eyes. Look at him. We're winning the Green Hammer this week, okay, babe? I just seduced the entire audience. I apologize. Green Hammer over 1.5. GM3, Andre Petroski, over 1.5. That's a guarantee. Slime ball, kind of a lock. All my locks lock. Let's go. Fall, but me, this guy, Brian Petrie, MMA on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, blah, 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 all that stuff. Hit that subscribe button. You guys are killing it. Sorry I couldn't do a live. I love doing a live. The chat is fiery. Hopefully we'll be back soon with the boys. That's what I want. I need my guys here. You guys are awesome. You guys are fucking awesome. Let's go. 292 this weekend, Boston. Let's go.